We open our Bibles tonight and we turn in God's Word to Genesis 27. Genesis 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son, and she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit, and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightfully named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob, because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. This far we read the word of God tonight. The text this evening is found in Hebrews 11, verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Not much is given us in the biblical record about Isaac. The scriptural record spends quite a number of chapters on Abraham and his faith. Likewise, the Genesis account spends quite a number of chapters talking about Jacob and his faith. But there is very little given to us of the life of Isaac. And yet that Isaac was indeed a man of faith becomes evident in the Word of God that we have before us tonight in Hebrews 11. The chapter we read tonight does not seem to indicate that Isaac was a very strong man of faith, but we will find, even in that account, that he was. Isaac as Abraham, after all, lived in tents, because Isaac, just as Abraham, looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Isaac, too, as we will find tonight, was persuaded of the promises that God had given him. Isaac, too, confessed that he was a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. And he did that along with Rebekah, his wife. Rebekah, after all, also appears in the account before us in Genesis 27 here tonight. And she, unlike her brother Laban, was also a woman of faith. At first, Rebekah was unable to have any children. So she asked Isaac to entreat God on her behalf, and then God allowed her to become pregnant just once. But with that pregnancy, she was given two sons, twins. We learn concerning those two sons while they were yet within her womb in Genesis 25, verses 22 and 23. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. The elder, who is Esau, was going to serve his younger brother named Jacob. The promises of God's covenant were not to be Esau's. The promises of God's covenant belonged to Jacob. And that's why the account before us tonight really is so intriguing. Isaac was going against God's revealed will to him concerning the two sons that were given him and Rebekah. Rebekah, on the other hand, was insistent that the blessing belonged to Jacob and not to Esau. The event of our text takes place when the two sons of Isaac were, in our standards anyway, old men. The two of them were about 77 years old when Isaac pronounced this blessing upon them. Esau, by this time, had married two wives from among the heathen of Canaan that were a grief to his parents. Jacob, yet, at 77, was a single man. We are told in Genesis 27, verse 1, that Isaac was old and that his eyesight now was gone. Actually, Isaac lived another 43 years after the incident of our text took place. So, though he may have been old, he wasn't as old as what we might think. But he was, in fact, already by this time blind. And that put Isaac, of course, at a definite disadvantage. That being said, we must be careful tonight that we do not lose sight of the fact that Hebrews 11 is emphasizing something to you and me concerning all of the witnesses that are given to us in that chapter. We must focus tonight on the faith of Isaac. By faith, we learn, Isaac blessed his two sons, Jacob, who is mentioned first, and Esau, concerning things to come. He pronounced upon his sons what he believed was truly going to come to pass. So the faith of Isaac, and I suppose we could say too, the faith of Rebekah, must be ascertained from the account that we have before us here in Genesis tonight. Then Isaac, in our minds, can rightfully be numbered among the cloud of witnesses that are listed for you and me in Hebrews 11. Consider with me tonight, by faith, Isaac confers the blessing. By faith, Isaac confers the blessing. In the first place, the blessing conferred. Secondly, Isaac's faith revealed. And then finally, God's gracious fulfillment of that blessing. Isaac decided that because he had now grown older and he did not know the time of his death, it was time to pronounce the birthright blessing. Though God had informed Isaac that his will was to bless the younger of his two sons, that is Jacob, Isaac, well, he felt otherwise than what God told him. Isaac favored Esau. To him, Esau was a man's man. Robust, hardy, a man who enjoyed hunting and the great outdoors. Jacob, well, he enjoyed being at home with his mother in the kitchen. He spent his time there with her. So Jacob was a bit of a mama's boy. For this reason, when Isaac thought the time was right and he was alone with his son Esau, he called Esau to him and he said to him in Genesis 27, verses 2 through 4 of that chapter. Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Esau, he was only too glad to accommodate his father, and he left immediately to go out and kill himself a deer. Well, without Isaac's knowledge, because remember, Isaac was blind, Rebekah was not all that far off and overheard now what Isaac intended simply for the ears of Esau. Rebekah must have been a shrewd woman, and she acted quickly. She instructed Jacob to go to the flock of the goats and kill a couple of kids, and she would cook up those kids and disguise them with all of the same savory spices, evidently, that Esau used, in an attempt to make those goats taste like venison. She and Jacob both well knew, however, that Isaac needed to be deceived, and that by means of the fact that Jacob was going to try to replace Isaac, or Esau. That was not going to be all that easy to do. It's true that Isaac didn't have any eyesight anymore. Nevertheless, it would be difficult because Isaac did have his other senses, didn't he? He had a sense of smelling, hearing, and of feeling. The hearing, that would be somewhat hard to disguise because Jacob probably could not make himself sound like Esau. But Jacob now dressed himself in the clothing of Esau, and Rebekah then covered his wrists and the tops of his hands and his neck here with the skins of those young goats that Jacob had killed. Jacob now goes into the presence of Isaac. And that while Esau was still hunting his deer out in the forest. Isaac himself was somewhat taken aback when Jacob came. Esau had returned too soon, so soon. And when asked about this, Jacob was very quick to lie. The Lord thy God brought that deer to me. Must have been very quickly. So he lies to Isaac. Yet Isaac was not fully persuaded by that lie. The voice he heard was in fact the voice of Jacob and not the voice of Esau. So being rather weary, we find that Isaac asked Jacob to come near to him so that he could feel the skin. Feel the skin of his son. So we learn in verse 21 of the Genesis 27 account, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Suspected, you see, that this was not Esau. So he felt Jacob's hands and sure enough discovered that the hands of Jacob were hairy, such as his son Esau. The voice I hear is Jacob's, but the hands, they're the hands of Esau. So Isaac put Jacob before the question point blank once again. Are you my very son Esau? Jacob lied. I am. So Isaac ate of the goat, somehow cleverly disguised to taste like venison. I really don't know how that can happen, but Rebekah must have done a pretty good job at that. He drank some wine, and he was ready to give his son Esau now the blessing. But one more test. So he says in verse 27, "Come near," or 26, "come near now and kiss me, my son." Then 27, "And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." Isaac then proceeded to pronounce the blessing on Jacob, believing, of course, that Jacob now was Esau. So he had been convinced. Having received the blessing, Jacob quickly turned aside and left his father in order to absent himself before Esau arrived. And we are told in the scriptural account that scarcely had he left the room and in marched Esau, and that with his venison. Prepared it exactly how Isaac, his father, loved it, so that he could receive the blessing from his father. "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that your soul may bless me." "Who are you?" asked Isaac. "I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau." In the verse that follows, we learn that evidently Isaac truly had been deceived by Jacob. Up to that point, you'd almost say, was Jacob really deceived? Did he really know that he was giving the blessing to Jacob rather than to Esau? But in the verse that we have here, verse 33, we find that Isaac trembled greatly when he heard that Jacob had deceived him. Which means, of course, he must have been well deceived. His surprise, after all, was not feigned. It was genuine. After informing Esau that the blessing had been given to his brother, Jacob, we find that Esau cried with a great and an exceeding cry, a bitter cry, "Bless me too," he says to Isaac. And to this, Isaac replied, "Your brother by subtlety has taken away your blessing." Esau's response is given to us in verse 36. "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" In verse 38, and Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Isaac then proceeded to pronounce his blessing on Esau. A blessing that we will find really was not a blessing at all. So, we have the account before us that the writer to the Hebrews refers to here in Hebrews 11, verse 20. Now, before we consider the faith of Isaac in this account, we need to look a little more closely at the blessing that Jacob, or Isaac, now bestowed upon Jacob. The blessing that Isaac spoke to Jacob, that he was intending, of course, to give to Esau, is recorded for us in Genesis 27, verses 28 and 29. "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Notice two truths contained in that particular blessing. First, the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, the corn and the wine was a blessing that was to be found there in the land of Canaan. Because the land of Canaan, after all, was that land flowing with milk and honey. And this blessing, therefore, was rooted in God's promise that this land, with its dew from heaven, with its fatness, with its plentiful corn and wine, would in fact be the inheritance that God bestowed upon Abraham and his seed in his generations to come. This was now being pronounced upon Jacob, although Isaac thought it was upon Esau. The second truth in this blessing is that, in fact, of the birthright. You will be Lord over your brothers and their children, and nations are going to bow down unto you. Here too, of course, Isaac erred. He knew that Jacob was to rule over his elder brother. God had said that. He said that to Rebekah. Rebekah passed it on, no doubt about it, to Jacob, so that Jacob knew that Esau was to serve Jacob and not the other way around. So he erred, and yet Isaac was willing to bestow this blessing on Esau. Now, we may not overlook that what Isaac was pronouncing here was, in fact, the birthright blessing. It was not the blessing of God's covenant. Now, under normal circumstances, of course, when the patriarch pronounced the birthright blessing on someone, then he also pronounced the covenant blessing. Isaac didn't really do that here. This was the birthright blessing. And although the two are interrelated, so that really what Isaac was doing here was wrong, nevertheless, Isaac reserved the covenant blessing for Jacob. We know of that because in the very next chapter, before Jacob left to go to Paddan Aram, or Haran, to find for himself a wife there, Isaac, in fact, pronounced upon him the blessing of the covenant. We read in chapter 28, starting in verse 3, God Almighty bless thee. Now, this is Isaac talking specifically to Jacob. God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger which God gave unto Abraham. That, people of God, was the blessing of the covenant that God had established with Abraham. Notice the two promises that we have already referred to in that covenant blessing that God gave to Abraham. First, God would multiply Jacob's seed now, just as he promised to Abraham. He would multiply Jacob's seed so that Jacob's seed would be as many as the sand which was by the seashore, innumerable. That was the same promise that God had given to Abraham. And second, Jacob's seed was promised this land of Canaan for a possession. Those two promises were the promises of God's covenant. Now we find that Isaac is saying to Jacob, that blessing that God gave to Abraham is yours. Those promises, as we have already found too, were likewise rooted in the coming of the Messiah. Jacob receives here, at this point, the promise of the Messiah, and that that Messiah was going to be born now out of his generations, out of his children, the Messiah was going to be born, not out of Esau's. So the true blessing of Isaac upon Jacob really came a little bit later on. Now, what about Isaac's blessing on Esau, the one that Esau wept so bitterly to receive? We read in verse 39 of Genesis 27, And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. Now we want to stop and take a little closer look at that, because our translations here are really wrong. If it were right, then we would find that he is bestowing exactly the same blessing on Esau that he bestowed on Jacob. Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. That's blessing that Isaac had bestowed on Jacob now. So why would he be bestowing that once again on Esau? The literal meaning of that verse there, verse 39, is this. Behold, thy dwelling shall be away from the fatness of the earth and away from the dew of heaven from above. In other words, Isaac's word to Esau was, you will not inherit the land of Canaan. That belongs to Jacob. The land of Canaan will not be yours. Further, you will not live with your children in Canaan. Oh, you will become a powerful nation. You will become a powerful nation because your descendants are going to be a people of the sword. They're going to be a warfaring people. And by might, they would come to possess the land of Edom. A land, as we well know, was east of Israel and south of Israel. But when Edom, he said, waxed strong, and Israel, because of her own sin, was punished by God, Edom would break the yoke of Israel from off his neck. Up until that point, Israel, his brother, would reign over him, Edom. That's what would take place in history. And we find that that, of course, is true. Under David's reign, Edom became a subject nation of, or to, the nation of Israel, until which time the kings of Israel and Judah sinned against God, and then Edom grew strong and broke from under the yoke or the rule of Israel. So the blessing that was spoken here in the Word of God tonight really wasn't a blessing at all, and we know that to be the case. Because if, once again, we take a look at Hebrews, but not Hebrews 11 this time, Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12:16-17, we find this. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Though Esau cried bitterly to Isaac for a blessing, seeking it with tears, he was rejected by God. He inherited the blessing, or he inherited no blessing because he did not seek the blessing with sorrow and repentance of heart. Esau was a fornicator. Esau was a profane man. In fact, we learn in Romans 9 that Esau was a reprobate man whom God hated. So the blessing spoken of here in our text tonight, though it was spoken to both Jacob and Esau, was not really a blessing to Esau. Now, given what we learn in Genesis 27, we may wonder how this entire account exhibits the faith of anyone, including Isaac. Isaac, fully well knowing that God had told Rebekah when the children were struggling in her womb that the younger shall rule over the elder, informs Esau to go out, kill him a deer, fix it up so that he can give him the birthright blessing. Fully well realizing that was not God's will. Isaac did not even consult his wife in the matter. which we husbands know well, that if we're going to make that kind of a decision in life, then we're foolish if we don't consult our wives in matters of that sort. It seems as if Isaac catches Esau at a moment when the two of them were alone, and then he kind of secretly says to Esau, "Go out and kill me a deer and come back in, and I'll give you that birthright blessing." Rebecca wasn't even in the room. She overheard Isaac only because Isaac did not know that she was near. He couldn't see her. But then, Rebecca sinned too, didn't she? Instead of confronting Isaac and telling him that he was doing wrong, she actually commandeers the disguising of Jacob and sending Jacob in before Isaac. She was behind Jacob's deceit and lies. That was wrong of her. Esau? Oh yes, Esau. Esau, in arrogance and profaneness, with evil delight, seeks his father's blessing, even though he did not deserve that blessing. He had sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. And then there's Jacob himself, who without hesitation lied to his father more than once. "I'm Esau, I'm Esau." Sin at every point. How was anyone exhibiting faith in any of this? And yet our text points to this incident in the life of Isaac as one of faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. If we dig a little deeper behind what happened in this whole incident, we will discover this faith of Isaac, and in that connection, the faith of Rebecca, really, at the same time. The key to this is found in the last part of our text tonight. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's where the faith of Isaac is revealed. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the firm conviction of heart and soul of things that are yet to come. He blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Faith is the conviction of things to come, that they are going to take place. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It is the confidence that the promises that God gives us, though we may not see them with our eyes, even fulfilled in our lives, nevertheless will come to pass. The writer to the Hebrews, therefore, is providing that point, or proving that point, in the various examples of faith that he cites in this chapter. Each one of the examples points exactly to that faith. Well, that faith was evident now in the blessings that Isaac bestowed upon Jacob and Esau. We noticed that already. Number one, we noticed that. This is what Isaac believed. God promises to give Canaan to Abraham, to me, and to our children after us in our generations. I believe that. Number two, God promises to multiply Abraham's seed, my seed, and the seed that is to follow after me, so that our seed will be as the stars of the sky in multitude. Number three, God promised Abraham that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And that same promise now Isaac bestows on Jacob. All promises contained in the blessing that Isaac now passed along to Jacob. Then there was one more promise contained in what Isaac spoke to Esau. The children of Esau would not inherit the land of Canaan. They were not to be accounted as the seed of Abraham. That reprobate nation, the seed of Esau, would serve God's chosen nation, the nation of Israel. The elder would serve the younger. And neither, people of God, may we forget the spiritual significance in all of this. We may not. God never promises to the reprobate man that he will inherit heaven. He never makes that promise to the reprobate man in this world. It is not God's intention ever to give the inheritance of those whom he chose to eternal life to the wicked of this world. God never offers to the reprobate the chance even of entering into heaven. Heaven is reserved for those who belong to Jesus Christ by a true and a living faith. Oh, it's true. Esau was a member of the church at that time. He was a member that belonged to the sphere where God now had established his covenant. But Esau was not one of God's elect, though an outward member of Abraham's family. The line of election and reprobation, people of God, cuts through the heart of the church. They are not all Israel that are of Israel. Esau did not believe because Esau was not one of God's elect people. Jacob, yeah, the deceiver. Jacob was chosen by God to believe. And that's why God very clearly states, both in the Old and New Testaments, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God chose to give Jacob the inheritance of the land of Canaan. Esau was rejected, we learned in Hebrews 12, verse 17, because of his lack of repentance and his unbelief. And the same is true in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Simply being a member of the church, simply being born and raised within the sphere where God establishes his covenant, does not save a person, as necessary as it is to be a member of the church. That does not save a person. There is oftentimes a carnal seed. No, there is always a carnal seed that grows within the sphere of the church. And I know from past experience, I know that it is not always easy for us to see that. And it's not always easy for us to admit that either. Especially if that carnal seed so happens to be one of our own family. But it's true. Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father is in heaven, who is in heaven. Those who do God's will are those who enter into heaven. But those who do God's will are always and only those who believe in God and in Jesus Christ. Obedience to the will of God is the fruit of faith. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is talking about in our text tonight. We will have no place in the inheritance of heaven if we have no part in Christ. And we have no part in Christ if we are not united to Jesus Christ by a means of a true and living faith. Esau had no inheritance in the land of Canaan or in heaven because Esau had no inheritance in Christ. As we found this morning, if God has not grafted a person into Christ by his grace, such a person is not even able to come and believe in Christ. he will not truly know Christ. He may know about Christ and about what Christ has done, but he will not truly see his own need for that Savior to save him from his own sin. He may be a member of the church, but he doesn't know Christ, not in the saving sense of the word. Neither will he place his confidence in Christ. Isaac did. Isaac did. And this is evident from the promises to which Isaac now clung in faith. If he did not cling to these promises, he would not have conferred the blessing, would he have? In faith, he believed those promises. And for that reason, he conferred those promises upon his son. And neither did Isaac, people of God, doubt that that blessing of God's covenant belonged to Jacob. Oh, yes, he would have in his weakness conferred it upon Esau, wouldn't he have? Providentially, God would not allow that to happen. But once he conferred the blessing on Jacob, Isaac did not go back on that blessing. If I were to pronounce the blessing on one of my kids that came to me under the same circumstances as Jacob came to him, I know what I would do as a father. I would say, everything I conferred on you, Jacob, is null and void. Null and void. You tried to receive the blessing by deceit and a lie. And that I spoke upon you the blessing means absolutely nothing in my eyes. I take back everything that I said to you, and what I said to you I'm going to confer on Esau. Jacob did not take that blessing back again. He could have. Why not? He could have. But now once again we go back to the account in Genesis 27. And we read in verse 33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me?" And he knows who that was, Jacob. "Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and have eaten, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him?" Where is he? "Yea, and he shall be blessed." Not taking back that blessing that I conferred on Jacob, though he took it by deception, he shall be blessed. Isaac's faith itself was rooted in the promise of the coming Messiah. By faith, Isaac himself was united to Jesus Christ. By faith, he conferred his blessings upon his sons. And as to his weakness, whose faith among us is so strong that we have never shown weakness? Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But the faith was there, and Isaac knew, and Isaac believed that the blessing, the coming of the Messiah, would come out of the seed of Jacob and not out of Esau's. And that was revealed most certainly in the account that we have before us tonight. Did God fulfill that blessing of Jacob? That's not included, of course, in our text, but it's the end of the story. It most certainly was. God never goes back on his promises. Jacob's children, his 12 sons, became the heads of the nation of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob himself left the land of Canaan for quite a number of years, only because he too was a believer to return to that land of Canaan, because that was his possession and that of his children. Now he came with what we would consider a large family, 12 sons, one daughter. This family in their generations would in fact inherit the land of promise, the land flowing with fatness and the dew of heaven. Israel would become a great nation, would conquer all the nations around her, including the nation of Edom. And Esau's generation would indeed come to serve Israel. God was faithful to fulfill what he promised to Abraham, and now he was faithful to fulfill what Isaac promised to Jacob. These promises, Isaac never questioned. He believed them. Indeed, a man of faith. Jacob's believing children would then also indeed come to inherit the heavenly land of Canaan. There's more, you know, than just a mere earthly fulfillment of this blessing of Isaac. The believing children of Isaac, not all the children, they're not all Israel that are of Israel, there's a carnal seed, but the believing children of Isaac would come to inherit the heavenly land of Canaan. Because they, in faith, looked beyond the earthly Canaan, remember, just as Isaac or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did, looked beyond that land, and they sought a better country, that is, a heavenly one. The children of Abraham still do that today. You and I who believe, we're the children of Abraham today. And we too are going to inherit that land of Canaan. Earthly Canaan? No. Who wants an earthly Canaan? The heavenly Canaan. God's promise today. How many generations later still has not failed? The word to Esau is true yet today as well. The reprobate have no part in the kingdom of heaven. No part. The gates of heaven are shut and locked to them, and God has no desire in him to grant them a place there with his people. God only uses the call of the gospel to gather his own into his kingdom, and that same command of the gospel he uses to harden the wicked. Is that faith of Isaac in the promises that God gives to you and me today, is that yours? Do you know Christ? Do you know your need for that Christ? And you and I one day will see Isaac in heaven. And then the blessing on Jacob is the blessing that you and I receive today in our generations. God, by his grace, grant us to live under that blessing. Amen. Father in heaven, again we are thankful for thy word. Again we pray that that word might find a ready entrance into our hearts. May we go forth believing as did Isaac and Jacob. We are thankful unto thee for thy word. May that word continue to lead and guide us in our own lives, that we might live in this wicked world in faith. Forgive us of our sins and our own weaknesses, just as thou didst forgive Isaac of his. We are thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. In his name we pray, amen. Number 30.